Are you a grill master? Are you looking to take your barbecue to the next level? Then you absolutely have to try Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. Y'all, I swear there was no relation here, but I wish there was, because this is some of the best barbecue sauce I've ever had. Originally created by the co-founder of Bojangles and kept in the Cox family for generations, Cox Sauce is a sweet and tangy Carolina Red barbecue sauce that goes great on chicken, ribs, pork, shrimp, and seafood. Just drizzle some on before everything's done, and you'll get that sweet, perfect tang with a touch of heat. Barbecue sauce also makes the best gift since it's kid-friendly and cheaper than whiskey. Head to their website and get a free bottle when you purchase three, or stock your pantry and get 25% off when you order four. That's coxsaucebbqsauce.com. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 114 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And just in case there are any new listeners out there, what I mean by that is I intend for each episode of the podcast to be between 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes in 1 second, 18 minutes or 1801 for the founding of USC and 2001, A Space Odyssey. But don't get on my case too bad if I miss it here and there. But do have a big episode for y'all. Got some news from the football team, got some news from the women's basketball team and men's basketball scores to report. But before we jump into things here, I did want to dedicate this episode and just give a big rest in peace to Mike Leach. Big time condolences to the Leach family and the college football world. Lost a legend. So thoughts and prayers to the Starkville community and any other community that he impacted, which honestly was nationwide. The sport lost a legend. But moving into South Carolina news here, starting with the football program, several updates here. Edge rusher Gilbert Edmond has entered the transfer portal, and, you know, it's just starting to get a little hectic. I mean, that news broke a little bit before I hopped on the airwaves here, and it's almost like you just got to sit back and let the transfer portal stuff happen. You can't get too up and down about it, and you just got to wait till the first depth chart drops, and that's your team, and that's who you're going to root for. And if the guys who you liked from last year are still on the team, then great, because it honestly is starting to feel like a roll of the dice at this point. A starting edge rusher in the SEC left the portal. I just don't really understand it. And I was saying that I helped bring the kid here because of the Instagram follow. So, best of luck, I guess. Moving on to some coaching news here. Pete Lembo, special teams coach, assistant head coach, received an extension and a raise. And that is the most earned raise and extension I've ever seen. And that's the best news of the month as far as I'm concerned. Shout out Pistol Pete. Hope to have you in Columbia for many more years to come, and I hope you buy yourself something nice with that raise. The other big piece of news from this week was that Dowell Loggins was officially named the offensive coordinator on a 3-year contract to start. I touched on this a little bit in the last episode when it was a lot of rumors still swirling, sources were confirming it, but this week it was officially approved by the Board of Trustees, and there was the press conference, the whole jazz. So some background on Dowell Loggins for y'all. He spent his coaching career in the NFL, both as a quarterback's coach and working his way up to the offensive coordinator role in the NFL. So quick rundown here. Tennessee Titans, he was their quarterback coach. Cleveland Browns, he was their quarterback coach. That's where he met and coached Connor Shaw. Chicago Bears, he was both the QB coach and the offensive coordinator. That's where he met and worked with Alshon Jeffrey, was the Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator, and was the New York Jets offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. But most recently, he had spent the last 2 years as the tight ends coach at Arkansas. He is an Arkansas alum. And that press conference, if y'all have not watched it, it's worth a watch. It is a good quality press conference. Shane Beamer opened things up and he was feisty. That was like the feistiest, most intense I think I've ever seen Shane Beamer. And if you want a sneak of what it's like maybe in that locker room when things might not be going right, watch the first 5-10 minutes of this press conference. He was ferociously defending his thought process, the way the search was handled, and ultimately defending Dowell Loggins. Beamer was not afraid to call out members of the media for doing what his mind was shoddy reporting, was tearing down Loggins as a person before they even really saw the second layer of it, all this jazz. And I have to say, I mean, I was definitely really critical of the hire, especially if you heard me on last episode. But, you know, when it became evident Loggins was the guy, you know, you had to start to wrap your head around it a little bit, right? But I still am a bit skeptical. And right now it's really wait and see mode. But it's just the part I keep getting hung up on with this hire is just the simple fact that he has not called plays in college before. And that's where a lot of these writers and members of the media were also hung up on. But again, Shane was very ferocious in defending him. And I do have to say, this is a big however. Dowell Loggins, in my opinion, really won that press conference and put some or even a lot of my concerns at ease. I mean, he stood up in the front of that room in front of people that had ripped his resume to shreds, and he shoved it right back in their face. He addressed that the college game is different than the NFL, but not in ways he initially thought. He continued to talk about space and pace when it came to offense, how that's more important, more emphasized in college, right? Utilizing the whole field to get guys open, not always something you do in the NFL. You just line up and do your thing. He also gave a huge credit to his time at Arkansas and also gave a shout out to the Penn State coach as he was there for just a couple of months learning the game and saying that his time in college before South Carolina opened his eyes to a lot of this, said that if he had come straight from the NFL into an OC role, it probably would not have worked. He was also speaking music to my ears, preaching to the choir, as he said that play calls and signals need to be simple and easy for the players to understand because they are in college. Because they have other things going on in their life other than football. This is not their job. They have class. What an idea. I mean, this is something that was rumored, but really more than rumored, to not be the case under Satterfield. And the calls were just too complex. He mentioned the importance of getting the ball to your playmakers and specifically said he didn't want to have a press conference in the middle of the season answering questions about why X player didn't get the ball. What a concept. Something that we begged for this past year. Get the ball to your best players. And just the way he handled himself, you know, it commanded respect. He seemed like someone that was open to learning, but was also confident in himself so that you'd want to listen and learn from him. So I mean, obviously, we have to see it on the field. And although the bar is pretty low from Satterfield, those last 2 weeks of the regular season gave us a glimpse into what a competent offense can look like. So the bar may be low, but he has a bar to get to, and we have to see if he can get to it and ideally surpass it. You know, but I guess with all that said, I do feel better about the hire today than I did a few days or a week ago. So in any event, the Gamecocks have an offensive coordinator now, and we can finally move on with our lives and start recruiting guys and filling out the roster for next season so everyone can breathe a little bit easier. And on a side note here, bowl practice started today. So that's fun, practice for the Gator Bowl. I'm sure there will be even more exciting and dramatic news to come from that over the next couple of weeks as the Gamecocks prepare to take on Notre Dame. But moving on to games that were played and actually happened, talking men's basketball here. Unfortunately, the Gamecocks took the L to UAB 84-70, and the skinny on this game is that it was UAB early and often. The Blazers jumped out to an early lead, then they coupled that with a big run early in the second half. And although Carolina had a much better second half compared to the first, it was just simply too much to overcome. You know, but make no mistake about it, and, you know, I'm not making excuses here, but the Blazers, they have a good team. You know, they're an experienced bunch, went to the tournament, and even with them being a mid-major, I could see them doing some things come March, maybe making a run in some way, shape, or form. Jelly Walker just is good. You know, I think he had like 5 threes or something crazy like that. They had some other veteran who set a career high. Just things that happen against Carolina all happened here. But player highlights here for you. G.G. Jackson with 20 points. Hayden Brown, Michi Johnson, and Chico Carter each had 13 points. So that's kind of fun. They all had 13 all matching together. And normally, we've seen this year that when you get that type of combination outside of Gigi, that can be a winning combo for Carolina. But the crazy thing is, like, after those four guys, the production just fell off a cliff. I think the next highest was like 6 points and then literally like some zeros. So you need a little bit more than that here. Next game for South Carolina is Saturday afternoon in Greenville. As part of the Greenville Classic, Gamecocks taking on East Carolina. ECU is 7-4 on the year. Now, defensively, both teams are even. They're giving up 71 points per game. ECU does have the higher scoring offense with 74 points. It's more than Carolina averages, but when you look at them at a glance, they've been pretty up and down on the season. So if I have to pick a crow to the game here, it's clamp down defensively. I know, a groundbreaking idea, but the idea is let Gigi get his rebounds. You know, he's going to get his, he's going to get his points, but when teams try to make it a track meet and they try to shoot their way out of the gym, South Carolina just has not been able to keep up. The offense is just not there, I think, just with this roster. So ECU is a team that's played a lot of mediocre competition. So if the Gamecocks can bring a level of physicality to the game, maybe be able to slow down the game and just get enough offense, I think we can take it home. I don't know why. You know, I'm just kind of looking at this ECU in Greenville. I don't know. I think the Gamecocks, if they're able to clamp down defensively and slow the game down, maybe we'd be able to take this one here. That would be exciting here. Which brings me over to the women's side of things, women's basketball team. Now, as I am recording this, they are playing South Dakota. So I am manifesting good vibes all the way from the East Coast to South Dakota. As I said last game, the crow to the game is really just playing through your bigs. South Dakota has a decent resume so far this year, but if you're able to play through our bigs, that tends to be the winning formula for these scrappy teams that sometimes can sneak up on you. Now, the women's next game is Sunday afternoon at home against Charleston Southern. So Charleston Southern is 2-8 on the year. So the crow to the game for this is show up. Respectfully, that's all Dawn Staley has to have her team do. Just show up to the game, show up to Colonial Life, and go play some basketball, because I'm pretty sure that the end of our bench could handle Charleston Southern. No disrespect, just to have the team show up. But the big news out of the women's program is that Chloe Kitts has joined the team and will be active. So to bring y'all up to speed here, Chloe is a five-star forward who was one of the top recruits in her recruiting cycle, but she has decided to forego her senior season in high school, thus making her immediately eligible. And Dawn Staley has said she has practiced this week, they're ramping her up, and they're going to get her playing. So, I mean, let's freaking go. This was a big-time get when she was being recruited. She had a real fun video of just kind of showing up to Dawn Staley's office and saying, hey, I'm going to commit to y'all. And it was funny to say you have that to look forward to next year, but the NCAA, in all their wisdom and all their loopholes to get players on and off the court, I guess you're able to forego your senior season, and I don't know how it works. I'm not even going to pretend I know how it works, but all I know is that we have an incredible player who has joined the squad, and I'm assuming she graduated high school. I don't know. You can't still be taking classes and play for your college team. I don't really understand here, but not that this team needed reinforcements, but reinforcements are here nonetheless. This is a huge byproduct of all of the work that Dawn Staley has put in recruiting. And it's just the rich get richer. You know, we have an incredible powerhouse here at Carolina, something that we take pride in. And Dawn Staley has recruited her butt off over the last couple of years. And this is just a cool byproduct of that, that we get to see Chloe Kitts in some way, shape, or form this year. And at a minimum, she's going to get experienced and kick ass next year, but I think we will see some contributions this year. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review to the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.